We are introduced to Nebuchadnezzar, and he is was a commander that destroyed Assyria, and then in 605 BC, he went down and took Jerusalem. And in taking Jerusalem, he took many, many of the Israelis with him. In fact, it says that he took Meshach, how am I doing? And Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thank you for your help. And of course, those are the Babylonian names, and those are the ones we remember because those are the words that they use in the song that we have sang in Sunday school forever. So he brought, these kids were from royal families, so they had very, very strong Jewish upbringing. And the first thing that we encounter is Daniel is negotiating for vegetables and water. And those that are in charge of him weren't too excited about it. But he says, give us a test for 10 days. And he passed the test, and God just blessed him abundantly. Then we went on to chapter 2. Where Nebuchadnezzar had a little bit of a dream. And I'm convinced myself that he was going to use this opportunity to test his soothsayers and his astronomers that he got from his father, that he inherited from his father. And so he brought them in and said, tell me what I dreamed, and then tell me what it means. And of course, they negotiated with him, trying to buy time. And well, if you'll just tell us, then we can do it. Anyway, they failed. And so Nebuchadnezzar got very upset. And he was kind of a wild guy anyway. And he said, well, let's kill them all. And Daniel and the boys were all interviewed by Nebuchadnezzar and brought into the court. And but they weren't there for this investigation, this opportunity. And Nebuchadnezzar was quite clear that you're going to lose your head. So they went out looking for Daniel and his friends, and they were going to bring them back and take the axe. And Daniel said, whoa, 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 what's this all about? And they said that Nebuchadnezzar couldn't get the answers that he wanted. And so Daniel was able to enter into his court, was able to ask for a little time. Daniel went back, and the first thing he did was pray, pray, pray. And God honored the prayer, answered it, gave him the interpretation, and he went back and just absolutely knocked Nebuchadnezzar off his feet. That's God's blessing for somebody who understood what it was to walk with God, and he did. So let's go ahead and take a look at chapter 3. Now, tonight, we're going to be looking at Nebuchadnezzar's team, talked him into building a statue. And that's what chapter 2 is going to be about. So let's take a look at that. But let's pray first. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to look at your word. We ask, Father, I ask that you would speak to each of our hearts. That, Lord, as we read through this, I pray, Lord, that you would minister your love and your understanding and your wisdom to us. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity. I do want to take this time to ask you to bless Peter and Marcy as they conclude the little trip. And, Lord, we ask that you would continue to be with Chuck. And, Lord, that you would have your hand on Hazel as she goes through this trial. Lord, may she see the love of Jesus surrounding her and the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, bless this time in your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, there's a lot of speculation as to what a cubit is, but for our purposes, we're just going to say it's a foot and a half, 18 inches. But it was measured from here to the elbow. And so we're going to say 18 inches. So that would make that statue about 90 feet high, and the base would be 9 feet. So if we put Jason at the bottom, and Jason is a rather tall gentleman, about halfway back, it would be 10 of him. Okay, verse 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Now, this image was of gold. And if you remember the dream that he had of the four different kingdoms, the first kingdom was his, and it was gold. So here he is making an image, and he was going to show somebody that the whole thing was gold. And I think that was on purpose. He was showing that his kingdom's pretty special. So he's gathered all of his cronies and all the important people. And verse 3 says, then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors and sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, to you is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, that's the one I'm most familiar with, the flute, the harp, I don't know what a sackbut is, the psaltery, the dulcimer, that would be interesting, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set forth. So that's the decree. As soon as the music starts, everybody is supposed to bow down. And whoso, verse 6, falleth not down and worship, shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Not everybody. Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now we know we have four Jews, right? We have Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, Shadrach. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? And so they're going to be accused. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Okay, that's the normal greeting. Verse 10, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Now, they wanted to make sure that Nebuchadnezzar remembered what the rules were, and that whoso falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then there were certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee, the golden image which thou hast set up. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar is enraged and fury and commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now, what did the king say? If they don't bow down within the hour, they'll be fried. Now, he says to them, now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down to worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Pride cometh before a fall. We'll see that in a little bit. If it be so, our God whom we serve, now this is the boys, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us for the burning fiery furnace. And he would deliver us out of the hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now it's my hope that when I'm put in a situation like this, that I'll be able to stand up like the boys and say, it doesn't matter. I refuse to worship. I will stand on my God, and you do whatever you need to do. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, very prideful young man, old man, commander, general. In verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was heated before. So now he's upset, and he's going to turn up the flame, and he's going to make it very, very warm. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, before the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How interesting. He just sent the best of his army to put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that warm, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Well, we know who entered in there, and that was God protecting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the princes Verse 27, and the princes, governors, captains, and kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. What a witness to the faithfulness of our God. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now I hope that our lives do the very same thing to the people we come in contact with, drawing them, pointing them, leading them to a relationship with the Lord. Therefore, I make a decree, Nebuchadnezzar, that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I have one question to throw out there to you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who was missing? Where was Daniel? Daniel was missing. Where was he? Now, we know that those astrologers and that team of soothsayers was belittled in the presence of Daniel and his troop, as Daniel was able to interpret the dream. I would imagine that they were a little upset. They shouldn't be. Daniel just saved their necks. But I think there was a little jealousy, and I think this whole thing was set up so that they could nail Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, where was Daniel? I think Daniel was called away, because I don't think Daniel was there. And if he was there, I know for a fact that he wouldn't have bowed down to that image. Very interesting, though, that he is not in this particular picture. So that chapter 3 has to do with bow or burn. Now, chapter 4 is going to be very interesting, because this is a chapter that's written by Nebuchadnezzar. And we know that from chapter 2 through chapter 7, it's all in Aramaic. And so this is a petition. This is something that he's going to publish throughout his kingdom. So this will be very interesting to see how he handles this. Chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. So he is declaring that he has a large kingdom, and he is writing this so that it can go out to every nook and cranny in his kingdom. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. Now, I to get the picture, I think it's a little more luxurious than just resting. I think he was sumptuously enjoying his surroundings and all that he had done. And he saw, he said in verse 5, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of this dream. The first time he brought in all of his fuddy-duds, he didn't tell them. But this time he is going to tell them what the dream is. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Okay, so he's given them a second chance, and again they failed. So what does he do? He turns to his ace in the hole, his second in command. But at last, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. That's interesting. Each of the names of the four Jewish boys all had names that reflected their God. And as they're giving the Babylonian names, they're reflections of Nebuchadnezzar's God. O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, master. Now that's very interesting. If and when we get to go to the remaining chapters, we're going to look at that simple little phrase right there, master of the magicians, because when Jesus was born, the Magi came from Babylon to find the Lord Jesus. And Daniel had a definite teaching that showed them what to be looking for down the way. O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw and beheld a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves therefore were fair, the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. So we've got a large tree that has reached into the skies, and the birds live in it, the animals live under it, the fruit from the tree fed many, and it was just a complete picture of what was happening in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches. Shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Now the seven times means a 7-year period that is going to pass. Okay, verse 17. This manner is by decree of the watchers, and the man by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Okay, I want to back up here. I missed chapter, verse 16. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. No, I did say that. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This is interesting because we're in a situation right now where we have an elected official that is not doing an adequate job. And we mustn't forget who put him there. And if he's not there for anything else, he's there to wake us up. We've sat lollygagging long enough, and it's time for the Tea Party, if that's what you want to be called, or the conservatives. It's 2-1 over liberals. It's time for us to do something and to act. And hopefully we'll get off our hindquarters and do something here coming up in a year or so. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. Interesting. He was speechless for 1 hour. And his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be so to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. So Daniel is saying, yes, I'm troubled, but I sure wish that this was against those that hate you and those that your enemies. Verse 20. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven have their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto the heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, I find this interesting that Nebuchadnezzar is now being chastised. Now he knows what it's all about. He has walked around the palace. He has lived in the best of everything. And now God is saying, pride cometh before the fall. And so Daniel is explaining that to him. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall not be sure unto thee. No, I take that back. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. And after that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So he's telling him, yes, you're going to have a nice little trial of 7 years, but your kingdom will not be taken away from you, and you will have a chance to be resurrected as the ruler of Babylon. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So he's telling him that you want to do something with your sins, and it's done by righteousness, and that thy iniquities by getting over your iniquities by mercy to the poor. And so now we get to see how he responded to this dream and how he responded to the interpretation. And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. At the end of 12 months. So he has 12 months to have thought about this and forgotten about this and then returned to his high perch. And at the end of 12 months, he walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He is now putting himself up, and he's going to get chopped down. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou knowest the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You know, I'm thinking about this is a hard, hard lesson for him. But how often do we not listen to what we're being taught, not follow the directions that are presented to us, and we go off and do our own thing? And it says that pride cometh but a fall. This is something that we have to be very, very careful of. We can't be lofty because God is going to knock us down. But we can't be too abased either, because that can be termed as a negative. So we have to find the balance where we can walk as we should walk and be used as God directs us. Now, let's move on and see what happens here. The same hour, he was driven from men. He did eat grass. He was wet with the dew of heavens till his hairs were growing like eagle's feathers. Now, I don't have any idea what that looks like. His hair looks like eagle. Now, I know your hair can be matted together, and I guess that could look like the eagle feathers. But it said his fingernails had curls on them like a bird's claws. So he was unattended to for 7 years. I bet he was a sight for sore eyes. At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. Please, it can't take us 7 years to have the light go off. We've got to be a little quicker than that. Okay? At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. In studying and preparing for this, I ran across a commentary that said that this person believed wholeheartedly that during that 7 years of being out in the wilderness, he was attended to by Daniel. I think when Daniel had the first confrontation with Nebuchadnezzar, he was pulled right into the kingdom, set up as a number two guy. And I think there was a very, very, very strong relationship between Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. And I think Daniel had a major part in, one, watching over him during this time, and then finally having the light go off in verse 34. Verse 35, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will, that being our God, in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou?" We have to be there. We have to understand that our God is in control, no matter what the circumstances look like. And as we walk, and as we have walked, and we get into those circumstances that don't seem manageable, don't seem like there's a solid outcome, once we get through the trial, once we get through the circumstance, we're able to see that God's hand was in everything. One of the things that Pastor Chuck said, I think I have a sermon from this little ordeal he was going through. I think he's going to have plenty of sermons when he's completely healed of this. Verse 36, "At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." So I think that if we're going to take anything away from these two chapters, one, we know who our confidence is in and who we want to hold on strongly to. And then when we're put in that circumstances like the boys were, we'll be able to say, no, we can't bow to whatever the situation you're pouring on us. And that we see in all the things that happen to us that God is in control, and that we can stand and we can trust in that completely. If I get another opportunity down the road, I will continue looking at Daniel. I know Pete teaches 9 many times throughout the year, but we'll go ahead and look at some of the other special things that this group of Jewish folk did. Okay, let's pray. Sir?
Can I bring up something?
Yes. Oh, Yusuf.
He was given one more chance on Tuesday to deny Christ. He's detained in prison in Iran. Just roughly the story, he protested his children being taught in Muslim faith, and the police arrested him, gathered him in prison, and Pastor Yusuf trial, and he was given, like I said, one more chance on Tuesday. They said, "Well, we'll let you, we might let you go if you deny Christ." But I can't do that. I will not deny Christ. And they said, "Well, then he's facing to be hanged on Thursday."
Yusuf, this is in Iraq. I read it today on Fox News, and it had a picture of he and his wife and 2 children. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Yes, it is Iran. It's Iran. Yes. So there's a situation right there that gives us an example of what we've looked at here in Daniel, that he chose not to deny his Christ, but to deny those that were in front of him. Let's pray. Father, what a great example to conclude this study tonight, as Pastor Yusuf is under the guns in Iran, and the verdict is death. But I know, Lord, that if you call him home, if you choose not to rescue him, but if you call him home, that will mean more to those that are serving Jesus Christ in Iran than anything else. And Lord, I just ask that you'd be with this family, whatever the outcome. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring to our remembrance many times over the next 24 hours that we lift him up to you and ask, Father, that your hand would be right there with him. And I know, Lord, just like you walked in that fire with the boys, you're going to be right there with him no matter what the outcome. And Father, we trust you for that, and we thank you for that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.